Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers. Working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion. Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers. Working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the program that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. Coming up on this edition of the program, we have an interview with Allie Hysong. Allie is the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast. The podcast provides content and information related to the NFL's Cleveland Browns. We discuss the Browns' Week 4 loss against the Atlanta Falcons, Browns' offense and defense. We also talk Jacoby Brissett, the Browns' next game in Week 5 against the Los Angeles Chargers, plus her favorite foods to eat at a Browns game and so much more. Plus, we have a preview of Week 5 and Week 5's game picks. That should be exciting. So Allie's going to be coming up on this week's edition of the program. And I tell you one thing, as I mentioned earlier, we're now entering Week 5 of the NFL season. Still very early. There's a lot of teams that we thought were going to be doing well, and unfortunately, there are a lot of teams that are not doing well. So, but hey, still very early. Again, this is still September and October are those months where people are still trying to figure out. But like Chris Collinsworth always said, the NFL season doesn't start until late November, right around Thanksgiving. In the meantime, let's recap the scores from Week 4's most important games in the NFL. Let's start off with the Thursday night football game between the Miami Dolphins and the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals would go on to beat the Dolphins 27-15. Unfortunately, that win was overshadowed by the gruesome injury that Tua Tagovailoa had received. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. In the meantime, in Thursday night football, the Bengals beat the Dolphins 27-15. The game in London at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium as a part of the NFL International Series was between the Minnesota Vikings and the New Orleans Saints. The Vikings beat the Saints 28-25. The Tennessee Titans squared off against the Indianapolis Colts in an AFC South rivalry game. The Titans beat the Colts 24-17. The Jacksonville Jaguars squared off against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles would go on to win 29-21. The Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens were in a close game in the Charm City of Baltimore, but in the end, it would be Buffalo winning. Final score, 23-20. The New England Patriots squared off against the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. Close game, but in the end, Aaron Rodgers and the Packs survived in overtime. Green Bay wins 27-24. Sunday night football was between two GOATs, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. In the end, it belonged to the Chiefs as Kansas City holds off to beat Tampa Bay 41-34. And in Monday Night Football, it was the Battle of California. The Los Angeles Rams going up against the San Francisco 49ers. The game was never close. The 49ers dominated their way to victory. Final score, 24-9. And those were the scores from the most important games from Week 4 in the NFL. I'd like to start off with my top three storylines. As I mentioned at the beginning of doing the scores for the most important games from Week 4 in the NFL, I mentioned that the Bengals beat the Dolphins and the final score was 27-15. But unfortunately, that victory was overshadowed by the gruesome injury that Tua Tagovailoa suffered in that game. Tua, back in Week 3, suffered an injury against the Buffalo Bills. He briefly left the game with a head injury, but the Miami Dolphins claimed it as a back injury. He would come back in, finish the game, and the Dolphins would beat the Bills in week three. But there were a lot of causes for concern immediately after the game. The National Football League Players Association, the NFLPA, suspected the Dolphins may have violated concussion protocols by letting Tua get back in the game. And they initially announced that they would launch an investigation. Let's fast forward 5 days later. He was a game-time decision for Week 4 on the Thursday night football game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Well, Tua cleared to start against the Cincinnati Bengals, and after taking a sack during the second quarter, Tagovailoa hit the ground with his left elbow and the back of his head, the back of his head hit the ground after taking a sack. And then in one of the most gruesome moments in television history, Tagovailoa's hands curled, his fingers curled up. And to be honest with you, I didn't know what it was until I saw what was trending on Twitter where they described it as a fencing response. Long story short, Tua was stretchered off the field and he was transported to a local hospital for head and neck injuries. The good news was that he was discharged from the hospital later that night and was able to travel back to Miami with his teammates. And then 2 days later, in some more developing news, the independent consultant that was involved in Tua's concussion check during the Bills game was fired. So let's get this straight. Tua suffered two gruesome injuries within a 5-day period. And then on top of that, the independent consultant that did the concussion check on Tua during the Bills game was fired. First of all, there's a lot of blame to go around in this. Now, I'm not a licensed doctor. I'm not a licensed neurologist. But when the first injury happened in week three against the Bills, and then Tua said in the press conference, and then Coach Mike McDaniels later said that it was just a back injury. To my knowledge, I don't ever remember someone having a back injury and you're stumbling like that. It just doesn't – two and two just didn't go together. I mean, people saw it. Tua was pushed. And the back of his head had hit the ground, literally. I mean, that was a concussion. Now, as I stated earlier, there's a lot of blame to go around. Number one, the Miami Dolphins failed Tua. They failed him because instead of looking at him as a future franchise quarterback for the team, it looked like they were in a desperate situation to win right now at any given cost. That's where it looks like the Dolphins messed up in that. Daniel, in his first year as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, he had something to prove as well. And maybe he thought that with the Dolphins having an undefeated record coming into the game against the Bengals, he had a lot riding at stake. He had a lot to prove. There could be blame to go around as well. A lot of blame could go also to the Dolphins training staff. The head doctor for the Miami Dolphins, also the independent consultant that was fired just days after the Dolphins game against the Bengals. Were they just in for a paycheck, or were they concerned about Tua? It appears that they were more concerned about the paycheck and not showing strong concern about the future franchise quarterback. Bottom line is this: short term, Tua Tagovailoa is going to be fine. It's the long term that I'm worried about. And we know Tua is not going to play in this game against the New York Jets this week. I'll talk more about that game in a little bit. Bottom line is this. Tua needs to stay out for a while because that was very scary. I mean, it's one thing to suffer two injuries within a 5-day period, and then in the game against the Bengals when you're sacked, and then the back of your helmet hits the ground like that, and all of a sudden your hands are up and you have this, your fingers are curled up. And I've never seen anything like that before. As I mentioned earlier, it wasn't until on Twitter when someone mentioned that independent neurologist and athletic trainers mentioned that that's described as a fencing response, which is basically a neurological condition when a player has not fully recovered from a concussion, and rightfully so. Bottom line is this. we've learned and we're still learning about concussions and neurological conditions and long-term. The NFL is still, the NFL once again revisited this issue this weekend in terms of revamping and revising the concussion policies in the National Football League. But bottom line is this, as far as Tua is concerned, in the short term, I'm glad that he's out of the hospital, glad that he's doing okay from what the Dolphins have said and what he said. But long term, I don't know. I think they really need to make a strong consideration. I think Tua needs to think about his future. I hope he's not someone that spends his money just freely and just going through money like it's nothing. I hope he really took that time and learned about investing his money. And he's a very intelligent person, so I'm pretty sure that Tua will not, you know, I'm not saying be cheap, but I'm pretty sure that he'll go ahead and hopefully invest his money in the event if he's not able to return to the NFL and just play at the high level that he did when he was at Alabama and attempting to play at the high level that he did in the NFL. But again, big ups and prayers up to Tua, and hopefully he can make a full recovery, because again, brain injuries and CTE, just brain injuries and any type of trauma to the head, man, it's tough, because nerves don't regenerate in that area. And just prayers up for him and prayers up for his family. My next storyline is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback situation. Well, the Pittsburgh Steelers are currently 1-3. Running the ball, it's been suspect for the Steelers so far this year. As far as the passing game is concerned, they gave Mitchell Trubisky a shot. That didn't pan out as well, so head coach Mike Tomlin made the decision to go with the rookie, Kenny Pickett. And let me just be the first to say, I'm glad that Kenny Pickett is going to be the starting quarterback for the Steelers going forward. I was campaigning for Kenny Pickett to be the Steelers quarterback at the beginning of the year. Unfortunately, Coach Tomlin decided to go with the experienced player and Mitchell Trubisky, and we saw how that played out. That didn't work out as well, so they want to enhance the passing game, and Coach Tomlin felt it was the right decision to make Kenny Pickett the starting quarterback. Now, with that being said, Kenny Pickett knows the city of Pittsburgh pretty well. Not only is he currently playing quarterback for the Steelers, he also went to college at the University of Pittsburgh. So he knows that city. He knows everyone involved in that personnel with the Pitt Panthers. He also knows just the schemes and everything that goes on. So he knows the culture. So he's going to fit in very nicely as the Steelers quarterback. Now, will it translate to wins? Well, that remains to be seen. Again, they have Buffalo coming up this week, and then after that, they've got Tampa Bay, followed by Miami, and then there's Philadelphia before their bye week. So only time will tell, but one thing is for sure, Mike Tomlin, I am shocked that he made a decision early on. I thought he would roll with Trubisky at least until after the bye week and making the decision and be like, you know what, we'll roll with Kenny Pickett. But nevertheless, he made a change very early in the season. We're at week 5 right now, but let's hope that with the passing game, if the passing game can get going, hopefully the running game would also get going as well for Pittsburgh. And it's tough times right now up in the Steel City, but hopefully we'll see if Coach Tomlin is on the money with this change as Kenny Pickett becomes the new starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And for my last storyline is going to be the Las Vegas Raiders. Finally, the Raiders have won a game. That's right. The Raiders beat the Denver Broncos in week 4, beat them 32-23. Is this the start of something major? Is this the start of something big? Well, only time will tell, because right now the Raiders have a Monday night game, a big one coming up against division rival in the AFC West, the Kansas City Chiefs. They have a bye week early in the year, and then after that, there's Houston, New Orleans, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Denver, and then you have Seattle. So some of those games, well, actually, most of those games are going to be winnable, with the exception of the Seattle game. But overall, I think after the Monday night game, against Kansas City. And then after the bye week, the schedule, the next several games look winnable for the Raiders. Bottom line is this. As I mentioned earlier, is this the start of something big? Maybe so. I mean, Derek Carr starting to get into a rhythm. Davante Adams, I mean, Derek and Davante, we knew they would have a chemistry, but also other players are finally stepping up, like Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs had a big game in the running department last week against the Denver Broncos. And then also, too, to the Raiders' defense, particularly Max Crosby. Max Crosby, somebody that's been one of the premier defensive ends in the league for the last several years. So, again, Derek Carr seems like he's trying to get a chemistry. Him and Davante are starting to get things in motion. Darren Waller is trying to find his way as well. So the Raiders, it was looking very scary for a moment because the Raiders, again, one of those teams where the expectations were so high for them coming into this year. So far, they currently stand at 1-3. Not the record that a lot of Raider fans and a lot of football fans were hoping for, as they are currently below 500 at the moment. But nevertheless, a win is a win, and the Raider fans can be excited at least for 1 week, as their record currently stands at 1-3. All right, that takes care of segment number one. When we come back from the break, I have an interview with Allie Hysong. Allie is the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast. The podcast provides content and information related to the NFL's Cleveland Browns. We discuss the Browns' Week 4 loss against the Atlanta Falcons, plus the Browns' offense and defense. We also talk Jacoby Brissett, the Browns' next game against the Los Angeles Chargers, her favorite foods to eat at a Browns game, and more. Allie is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to The League Wraparound.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion. Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers, working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code EASY1000 and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. BetMGM features a wide variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Sign up today and find out why nothing beats a win at the King of Sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app or go to BetMGM.com and enter code EASY1000 and place your first wager risk-free. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino.
Family Dollar has more for Halloween. Find everything for the perfect celebration, from costume accessories to spooky decorations, paper, and plasticware. And don't miss our variety of candy from your favorite brands. Family Dollar, helping you do more.
Welcome to America, the land of junk sleep, where it's bedtime, but you're double booked. Here, there's always one more deadline to meet, episode to watch, or meme to share. The world may not want you to sleep, but we do. Only the sleep experts at Mattress Firm can help you find the right bed at the right price. Unjunk your sleep.
in-store or online at mattressfirm.com today.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers. Working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
One more rep.
You know that feeling you get when things just magically work?
Like when my 300 gyms get restocked ahead of schedule?
Bingo! Your equipment supplier has Salesforce Customer 360. It unites teams around gym owners like you for wow moments like
when new weights come in my custom shade of blue.
And those gym towels you liked?
So plush, so thick.
With just one click.
Wow.
See how uniting your teams can help you wow customers at salesforce.com/customer360. Sarah just added kettlebell classes to her 300 gyms. The thing is, those gyms don't have kettlebells just yet. But Sarah isn't sweating it. Her equipment supplier has Salesforce Customer 360, the number one CRM, so they can unite around customers like her. Marketing already knows the model she wants, so commerce and IT serve it right to her in a mobile app.
Wow, one-click checkout.
See how uniting your teams can help you wow customers at salesforce.com/customer360.
Steps up. Going to keep it himself. Brissett in the window. Touchdown! Jacoby Brissett!
He told us in our meeting that he wasn't this read option agile.
Hunt in motion. Hand off to Chubb. Chubb through the left side. Inside the 20. Chubb's got the 10. 5. Touchdown! Nick Chubb!
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and CBS Sports, and that game was from Week 4 with the Cleveland Browns going up against the Atlanta Falcons, which took place on October the 2nd of 2022. The first highlight that you heard was Jacoby Brissett, quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, scoring a rushing touchdown, and the second soundbite that you heard was Cleveland Browns running back Nick Chubb scoring a rushing touchdown. Unfortunately, the Browns fell short in the Week 4 game against the Falcons, losing 23-20. To talk more about this game and, of course, the Browns' next game against the Los Angeles Chargers and so much more, we have her back on the program. She loves her Cleveland Browns, and she's not afraid to show it. She is the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast, Allie Highsong. Hey, Allie, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. I know you have a lot of takeaways from this game, so let's just get right to the chase. What were your takeaways from the Browns game against the Atlanta Falcons?
Look, I think that the Browns have come up short in, you know, every week so far this season. I think it's fair to say that this team could easily be 4-0, but they just tend to get in the way of themselves time and time again. Now, even with their victories, you look at the win over the Pittsburgh Steelers, you look at the win over the Carolina Panthers, there's still some moments that you would certainly like to have back, and I'm sure that Kevin Stefanski would likely agree with that, that it wasn't a perfect or a pretty game. But it comes down to the details. They're a young team, and they're just coming up short on some of those details. You can say some of it's coaching. You could say some of it's busted coverages. I think offensively, if you're taking a look at the Cleveland Browns, it's as good as it's going to get with Jacoby Brissett. You've got a really stellar run game with Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. They just haven't been able to get it going defensively on a consistent basis, and that has really probably been the recipe to the reason why they're 2-2 rather than 4-0.
So we're going to get more into detail about the defense in just a moment. I want to start off with this running game. A lot of people have said that this could be the best running back combination, the best 1-2 punch when the running department in the NFL for the Cleveland Browns with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Nick Chubb had 19 carries for 118 yards and a touchdown against the Falcons. Give me your thoughts on Nick and his play in this game.
Look, I think that Nick Chubb embodies everything you want as a Cleveland Brown. You know, he is probably the heart and soul of this offense. You know, without Nick Chubb, without Kareem Hunt, you really can't get a lot going offensively with the limitations of Jacoby Brissett, who I tend to believe that he's played as good as he can under the circumstances. But ultimately, this two-headed monster at running back is the recipe for the success that the Cleveland Browns have had offensively. They're one of the most efficient teams offensively in the National Football League, which is crazy to think, given that they're 2-2. But nonetheless, you can attribute a lot of that to Nick Chubb. This is his first game back in Georgia since college. He put on a show, you know, time and time out, every single week. Nick Chubb is showing up, you know, he is running with his hair on fire, playing some of his best football. And then you throw in a different style of runner in Kareem Hunt, who runs with a little bit more, dare I say, you know, aggression or passion. You know, he almost runs every single time he touches the ball like it's his last. So two different styles of running, but ultimately I think that they complement each other very, very well. And I think that that's been put on full display through the first 4 weeks.
A wonderful combination between Chubb and Hunt. I guess it's kind of like a comparison of thunder and lightning almost, with Chubb being the lightning and then Hunt being the thunder in this combination. And let's stay with Kareem for a moment. He had 10 carries for 49 yards in this game. Just give me your thoughts on Kareem and his play in this game.
Yeah, you know, like I said with Nick Chubb, this running game is the heart and soul of this offense. Kareem Hunt, like I said, he plays with his hair on fire. He's running like every time he touches the football, it's his last time. But what you can see with Kareem Hunt is his diversity. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can make those explosive plays. But when it boils down to it, the man is just slippery. He can just get outside of the tackles. And same with Nick Chubb. But they're the perfect complement to each other. I like your analogy, the thunder and lightning, because that's perfect given who they are and what they're doing. But Kareem Hunt, he's elusive. He's electric. He can make plays after the catch, and he can certainly make you miss some tackles. So really like what you're seeing from the backfield for your Cleveland Browns, but I think that ultimately perfect complement. I just would like to see them being used in a better way. You get all the way down to the 1 yard line, 2 yard line, and the fact that you're running a drop back pass and you get penalized, you get pushed back a little bit more. You've got Nick Chubb. You've got Kareem Hunt. You've got, you know, Mr. Sneaky, Jacoby Brissett, quarterback sneak. You have the ability to, you know, really just absolutely annihilate the line of scrimmage and dominate the time of possession with Kareem Hunt, with Nick Chubb. I would like to see them just stick to it a little bit more.
All right. I want to move along now to the receiving side. We talk about great tight ends in the NFL with Travis Kelce in Kansas City, and you also have George Kittle in San Francisco. David Njoku has been making a name for himself the last several years as a member of the Cleveland Browns. In his game against the Falcons, he had 5 catches for 73 yards. Give me your thoughts on David and his performance in the game against Atlanta.
You know, a couple of years ago when David Njoku had requested a trade, I had said on my podcast, you know, look, this is the best situation for David Njoku. It may not be right now, but the long-term scope of things, David Njoku's best spot is in Cleveland. And I think that we're starting to see that. Now, it has been a slow start for David. Even though he is a first-round pick, we haven't really seen him take off like some of the other tight ends in the league. Mark Andrews comes to mind, George Kittle, Travis Kelce. He's not that type of player, though. And the way that the Cleveland Browns have used him over the past couple of years and how they're, you know, kind of getting off to a start here this season is he's really a big-bodied receiver. He's honed in on his craft of blocking. He's getting much better at that, you know, really working on his hands. But he's a big-bodied receiver that can make those basketball style of plays. And we talk about the perfect complement in Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. But I also think that if you take a look at complementary tight ends, David Njoku and Harrison Bryant are two totally different style of players that complement each other very well in this offense. But David Njoku, I really like what I'm seeing from him so far this season. I'd like to see him be a little bit more consistent with his pass-catching abilities, but he has the ability to go up and make some freakish style plays.
Yeah, Njoku's really been picking up his play the last couple of years, and this year, so far, so good. He's really stepped it up. I want to talk now about Donovan Peoples-Jones. The last time I had you on the program, Allie, we talked about how he's been like a cult favorite in Cleveland. He had 5 catches for 71 yards in the game against the Falcons. Give me your thoughts on Donovan's play in this game.
You know, I think that Donovan has been off to a pretty good start. You know, at the end of the day, Donovan, he's reliable. He has kind of been a safety net for the past couple of years because you can count on him. Yeah, he's not going to be the type of route runner that's going to create a ton of separation. He's not a burner. That's just not who he is. But he can make those contested catches. He can give you the easy ones. He can make those layups. So he's kind of been that safety net for Jacoby Brissett in a certain type of way. You know, ultimately, I don't think that he's ever going to be wide receiver one for this Cleveland Browns offense, but that's not what he was drafted to do. I think that he played very well against the Atlanta Falcons. He's really stepped up to the plate. But, you know, overall, he's doing very well in his role. I think that he's a good complement. We're talking about all these complimentary players to Amari Cooper. I'd like to see the Browns bring in another receiver, maybe somebody that can take the top off. But coming into this season, we talk about one of the biggest issues with this offense, and you could easily point at the receiver position and say, hey, this is a huge area of concern. But through the first 4 weeks, it really hasn't been. Offense has looked really good, and so have the past.
All right, you mentioned his name earlier, Harrison Bryant. In this game, he only had 4 catches for 18 yards. Just give me your thoughts on Harrison and his performance in this game.
You know, I think that Harrison, he's played his role very well. We talk about the perfect complement between him and David Njoku. David Njoku, that big-bodied receiver, can make those crazy plays. And Harrison Bryan's not that guy. You know, he's that guy that can also be, like a Donovan Peoples-Jones, the safety valve. And he's consistently shown that. You know, he's got really good blocking ability. He can catch the ball. He can make those crazy plays. But on a consistent basis, he's going to be out there in – you know, the heavy personnel situations as another blocker or just as your stereotypical tight end in the National Football League. He's good at a lot of things, but he's not great at one thing. I think he's a very serviceable tight end. I like him in this offense, but I still think he's very young. This is, you know, he's young in the NFL. I think he still needs a lot of snaps. He still needs a lot of experience. So I would say probably if we were to have this conversation towards the end of the season, we're saying, hey, you know, Harrison Bryant, David Njoku are some of the top tight ends in this league. I don't think we're quite there yet. But I think that there's a lot of optimism surrounding Harrison Bryant and his style of play.
I want to talk now about the star receiver that came through in the trade during the offseason, and that's Amari Cooper. Even though he only had 1 catch for 9 yards, he was shut out in this game. But overall, Amari has been effective in a short amount of time since he's been in Cleveland. Give me your thoughts. Well, this is a two-part question. The first question is, what will you find out Amari was coming to Cleveland? And the second question is, what are your thoughts on what he's done for the team so far this year?
Well, I'll never forget, I was going through the McDonald's drive-thru and I saw on Twitter, I believe it was Jake Trotter had tweeted that the Browns had just traded for Amari Cooper, and I was ready to run into the McDonald's and throw a party in there. I was very excited. I think that, you know, just like Nick Chubb, he's the type of player that you want on your offense, a very selfless player that can make those freaky, freaky plays. But he flat out has the ability to get open. Now, you can credit some of that to Kevin Stefanski's offensive scheme. You know, I think that a lot of people will put up the argument that he needs to give up play calling. But I think I've been very strong in my belief that he flat out gets guys open. You pair that along with Amari Cooper's route running ability to create separation week in and week out. He is getting open. Now it's up to Jacoby Brissett to get the ball in the hands of his, you know, number one receiver. And we haven't seen that yet on a consistent basis. But I think over the course of this season, you're going to see that come to fruition. You're going to see Amari make those big time plays in those big time moments. But if you go back, you watch the All 22, you can see every single game, consistently, Amari Cooper has the ability to get open. Now, giving credit where it's due, A.J. Terrell played a great game. Coming into this week, he had given up a touchdown in every single game prior to the Cleveland Browns. So I think that the Browns were trying to look to exploit that just a little bit, but that didn't come to fruition. But ultimately, very happy with Amari Cooper so far this season.
All right. And, you know, one thing about Cleveland with over the last decade and a half, they've really had some solid offensive linemen, Joe Thomas, just to name a few. But what they've done with this running tandem of Chubb and Hunt has been phenomenal. Some of the stalwarts on this offensive line with the likes of Joel Batonio, Jack Conklin, and, of course, Jedrick Wills, who's just been a diamond in the rough. Just give me your thoughts on the offensive line and their play so far this year.
But I think they've been very good, and they're going to continue to get better. I think that there's certainly some penalties you'd like to have back. Wyatt Teller, a couple holding calls. Joel Bitonio last week against the Atlanta Falcons, getting down the field a little bit too early on setting up a screen. So there's certainly some things you'd like to have back. But, you know, I made the argument a couple of weeks ago on my podcast saying, you know, with the truncated preseason and, you know, you're losing a preseason game, that really alters the way that teams go about their business in the preseason and how many reps their starters are getting. So I think that early on in the NFL, the first couple of weeks, throughout the league, not just the Cleveland Browns, it's been very, very clear that, you know, some of the starters didn't get as many reps as they probably should have in years past. So I think that as we progress over the course of this season, you're going to see this offensive line go from great, which I think is how they're playing right now, great offensive line to an elite offensive line. Number one in the National Football League, I don't think, is out of the question. I think that you've got a tremendous amount of talent on this line. And giving credit where it's due to Ethan Posick coming in, you bring him in free agency, you lose J.C. Treader over this offseason, and then you have Nick Harris stepping up in his place, former fifth-round pick, and he goes down in the preseason. So you throw in Ethan Posick, and he's played very, very well given the circumstance. So I think you're going to see an offensive line with a lot of discipline, very well coached from Bill Callahan, go from a great offensive line to an elite offensive line through the course of this.
Yeah, I think it's only going to get better, especially with Chubb and Hunt. In this currently in this early part of the NFL season, I'm like you, it is expected to get better. I want to talk now about the kicking game for a moment. Cade York, the rookie from LSU. I mean, Cade has had some misses, but overall he's been good so far this early part of the NFL season. Give me your thoughts on Cade and his play during the season.
Yeah, I think Cade's been very solid. I think if you take a look back at this last game against the Atlanta Falcons, that early drive, Kevin Stefanski goes for it. You know, you mentioned it. Cade York's been playing pretty darn well. I think he's 8-for-8 on field goals so far this season. You got to put him in that situation. You got to get the young player these reps. You mentioned it, though. He has had a couple of missed extra points. And you certainly can't have that. But there's a lot of optimism surrounding this young player, but I have told my listeners on my podcast, hey, we need to understand that this is a rookie. This is a very young player. We need to be patient with him. But I think it all comes down to reps. He's got the talent. He's got the mental ability. He's got everything you want in a franchise kicker. It's just going to come down to reps. But I think he's played very, very well so far this season.
All right, solid. Let's move along now to the defensive side of the ball. Last time I had you on, Allie, we talked about JOK, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. In this game against the Falcons, he had 4 tackles. Give me your thoughts on a JOK and his performance.
Well, I think with the loss of Anthony Walker Jr. For the remainder of this season, you're going to see the linebackers have to step up in a big way. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah included in that mix, and he's shown the ability to do that. You know, he is another player that just plays with a fire within him, with his hair on fire. Every single snap, he is fire in him. But, you know, I think that in this game against the Atlanta Falcons, they've had to increase their blitz percentage because you're out Myles Garrett, you're out Jadeveon Clowney, you're out Taven Bryan. So they had to use linebackers, safeties, and corners to get after the quarterback. And, you know, he showed the ability to do so. He can absorb the run. He's just so versatile. He can drop back into coverage. He can cover the tight end. He can stop the run. He can get after the quarterback. He is exactly what you wanted him to be when the Cleveland Browns drafted him there in the second round just a year ago.
All right, a couple of gentlemen I'd like to mention on the defensive side. Jacob Phillips, also Grant Delpit. Jacob had 6 mm-hmm. tackles in the game against the Falcons, and Grant Delpit had 4 tackles. Give me your thoughts on Jacob and Grant in their play in this game.
Well, I'm going to start with Grant because I think he's kind of had a little bit of a rough start so far this season. But I think in this game against the Atlanta Falcons, he's looked really, really well with a couple of pass breakups, right place, right time, playing instinctual football, which has kind of been the knock on him so far this season. A lot of blown coverages, not looking so good in coverage, but I think he really kind of redeemed himself this past week against the Atlanta Falcons. So I think that we'll continue to see that progression of him getting better. And I go back to my previous statement, you know, with a truncated preseason, you're going to see a little bit more confusion, a little bit more of a lack of discipline the first couple of weeks throughout the NFL, just based off of that. And you can even throw injuries into the mix as well. Jacob Phillips, you know, he's kind of got the weight of the world on his shoulders right now with the loss of Anthony Walker Jr. He's now the green dot guy. He's shown the ability to communicate on defense and get the guys in those positions to make those plays. You know, I think the only thing that I saw, speaking specifically to the Falcons game, is just his angles at which he's attacking the run have been a little bit less than ideal. But I think that he's got the ability. He's got the talent. It's just also going to come down to reps. He's battled injuries. He hasn't been on the field as much as he probably would have liked the past couple of seasons. So with Grant, with Jacob Phillips, with all of those guys, it just simply comes down to reps, because at the end of the day, they're still very young players.
All right, I want to talk about a couple of more players on the defensive side. Jordan Elliott had a sack in this game, and, of course, Denzel Ward, who earned a big contract during the offseason, had an interception in this game. Give me your thoughts on Jordan and Denzel and their play in this game.
Yeah, I'll start with Jordan. Look, I think that the lack of depth at the interior of the defensive line, it stands out. And, you know, when you lose a couple of guys, when Jadeveon Clowney, Myles Garrett goes out, you know, you can certainly feel that in terms of getting after the quarterback. But also when stopping the run, you lose Taven Bryan, you know, you really feel that. But I think Jordan Elliott stepped up in a big way. He was able to get his first sack, which was a lot of fun to see. But I still think that there's a lot of turn there in the interior of the defensive line that simply has to get better. If this wants to be the Cleveland Browns want to be a playoff team, that position has to get better. But Denzel, I think he's had a couple of rough games so far this season. You can blame some of that on scheme. You can blame some of that on just, you know, having a brain fart or something like that for Denzel. You can go back to the blown coverage week two against the Jets. You know, a lot of that's on him. But I think if you go back and you look at some of his other plays, you know, one comes to mind, this interception in this Falcons game. He is making the right reads. He's just getting in front of the receiver to get that interception. He looks really good. And again, like these other players defensively that we've mentioned, I think it's going to come down to reps. This has been a very weird offseason. Denzel missed a little bit of time. I think give him time, we'll be all right.
You know, you mentioned his name, and I was going to ask you about him. Defensive coordinator Joe Woods. I mean, we've only been 4 weeks into this NFL season, and people on Twitter have gone off on Joe Woods. I mean, people have said that he's blown coverages. It's been important games where the Browns have had a lot of close games this year, and people have gone to him and said, what's wrong with the assignments and things of that nature? What do you think has gone wrong with Joe and his schemes coming into games?
Well, I think there's a lot to contribute to that. One is the scheme itself. Look, I'm not a Joe Woods hater. I'm not calling for anybody to lose their job at all, actually, because I'm not sure what the solution is if you do that. But I think that a lot of the prevent defense and the lack of pass rush the past couple of weeks now, this week, you know, you're without your two best edge rushers. I understand that. But just the inability to communicate and play within what seems to be a relatively complex scheme, it's just part of it's not working. And I can't quite pinpoint what it is. It comes down to a lot of things, scheme being one of them, communication being another, just a lack of discipline. We talk about the busted coverages, which are frustrating. But what is also frustrating is the several 12 men on the field calls. Just shooting yourself in the foot. So I think that there's a lot of blame to go around, and I don't think that it solely lies on Joe Woods. I think you can take a look at the defensive backs coach. You can look at Jeff Howard. You know, I think that there's a lot of blame to go around. But at the end of the day, just like some of the offensive struggles, you can blame Kevin Stefanski, but you can also blame the execution. And I think part of it defensively comes down to that. The players have to execute within the scheme, but I do think that part of the scheme could be flawed.
All right, and I want to move along now to the quarterback, Jacoby Brissett. We know about Jacoby's track record. He's someone that was proven during his time in New England, also spent some time in Miami, also spent some time with the Indianapolis Colts as well. Currently, the starter for the time being under some strange circumstances. But Jacoby in this game, 21 out of 35 passes for 234 yards against the Falcons, and he also had a rushing touchdown. Give me your thoughts on Jacoby and his play against the Falcons.
Well, I think so far with Jacoby Brissett, he is playing as well as he can. For as well as, you know, you brought him in, you brought Jacoby Brissett in to do a specific job, and he's doing that, and I think he's doing it very well. Now, I don't think he was as sharp as he had been in weeks past against the Atlanta Falcons. You know, there's that screen pass to Kareem Hunt, and you probably get six on that play, and he just throws it into the ground. Granted, there was pressure coming at him. But I think in this game against the Atlanta Falcons, he didn't play his best game. There's a lot he'd like to have back. But over the first, you know, couple of weeks here, Jacoby Brissett hasn't been the issue. I think that he's played very well given the situation, given the circumstance, and he's kind of putting on display what this Kevin Stefanski offense can look like. He's, you know, done a very good job as a game manager. Now, those two losses end on two interceptions. Can't have that. But I also don't think that Jacoby Brissett should have been in that situation to begin with. So there's, again, a lot of blame to go around. But Jacoby Brissett is the player I've been very impressed so far.
I want to stay just with Jacoby for a moment. We know about the circumstances that happened with Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun will be back eventually. But considering everything that has happened, in your opinion, what were the steps that were taken in terms of Jacoby just learning the playbook and just trying to adjust and trying to make the situation a positive, and even in the midst of all the chaos that was happening around that time?
You know, that's just who Jacoby is, cool, calm, collected. You know, the culture of calm, he really fits that in what this front office and this coaching staff has looked to implement. But Jacoby Brissett, giving credit where it's due, you know, a lot of that goes to who he is as a player, the talent that he has, and his leadership abilities to be able to navigate what was such a crazy offseason for the Cleveland Browns. Just as fans, I can't even imagine what it was like, you know, in that locker room. But to be able to learn the playbook like he has, and to be able to navigate what was such an insane offseason, it's just a credit to who he is as a leader, to his character, and, of course, who he is as a player.
Yeah, Jacoby's been one of those guys that's, like you said, Allie, he's a game manager, but he's also athletic and very durable. And as you said, he's doing the best job that he can so far, for the time being that he's the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. So let's move along now to the Browns' next game against the Los Angeles Chargers. And let's start off on the defensive side for a moment. We know about the issue with Myles Garrett being involved in the automobile accident. He's fine. He's expected to play in this game, and the Browns are going to need him, especially on the defensive side, because they're going to be going up against Justin Herbert, also Austin Eckler, and the Los Angeles Chargers. What do you think the defensive strategies are going to be for the Browns going up against the Chargers?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to get into the head of Joe Woods and see what his thoughts are approaching this game. Because if you look back the past couple of weeks, you're playing average to below average quarterbacks and making them look elite in certain moments. And now you're actually going up against an elite quarterback with elite talent for this Chargers team. So to me, it comes down to discipline and communication in those small details, like we talked at the top. I think it all comes down to making sure that you're playing every single snap in the spot that you're supposed to be at, and not having any – you can't shoot yourself in the foot in this game. I think if you can keep the ball in front of you without playing too much prevent defense, you're able to generate at least a little bit of pass rush because the Chargers are without their left tackle. You can get after Justin Herbert, but he can also make plays outside of the pocket. So the secondary has to be able to cover, period, point blank. And that's what – if you can't cover, you know, they're going to exploit that every single week. I think that we need to be able to generate the pass rush. We need to be able to cover. But it comes down to the discipline and the details.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. The Browns defense is definitely going to have to be disciplined because you can't forget about Keenan Allen and also Gerald Everett. Those guys are just monsters, both at the wide receiver position for Allen and Everett being at the tight end position. Let's move over to the other side of the ball. The Browns' offensive strategy against the Chargers' defense. If there's a little bit of good news for the Browns is that Joey Bosa is on injured reserve. But the Chargers have one of the best defenses in the league. Khalil Mack, Nup said, you know, you got Kenneth Murray. You've also got J.C. Jackson and then Derwin James, who got a huge contract extension during the offseason. And, of course, Asante Samuel Jr. What do you think the Browns' offensive strategy is going to be against this tight Charger defense?
Well, I think that the Browns have gone up against some pretty decent defenses so far this season. I think the recipe is still what it's always been, and that's to control the time of possession. And you do that by using Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. It's to dominate the line of scrimmage. You know, you mentioned it. Without Joey Bosa, sure, they still have Khalil Mack. They still have a lot of talent on that defensive line. But I'm willing to bet the offense is just a little bit better. So I'm going to take that bet any single day. But to be able to maintain the time possession and control that clock, run the ball, and have Jacoby Brissett play a clean game. If you turn the ball over, you know, you're probably going to lose this game. So if you can play a clean game, you can do what you've been doing effectively and efficiently with running the ball and getting the ball into the hands of your playmakers. You feel pretty good about it. You know, going into the first couple of weeks, the Browns and the Falcons were the only two teams in the National Football League going into last week that have scored 26 or more points in every single game this season. Now, that ended on Sunday, but this the offense really hasn't been the biggest weakness for this Cleveland Browns team, which many thought that it would be. If they can play a clean game and keep the ball out of the hands of Justin Herbert, you feel okay going into this.
Should be an interesting game between the Browns and the Chargers, week 5 in Cleveland, Ohio at First Energy Stadium. Well, Allie, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Tell everybody what's going on over at the Here We Go Brownies podcast.
Yeah, we are the Here We Go Brownies podcast. You can catch that on Facebook or Twitter at Go Brownies Live. You can catch us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Check us out. We've got a lot of former and current player interviews coming your way. That's Here We Go Brownies podcast.
Awesome. And before I let you go, First Energy Stadium, or just Cleveland as a whole, has been one of those solid NFL cities. So I'd like to ask you, what foods do you enjoy eating at a Browns game?
Ooh, well, it depends on the time of year. But I'm a big barbecue. I'm a big barbecue person. So I like to get my hands on some brisket or some pulled pork. I think Cleveland does it right. They you know, they're not on the map in terms of barbecue cities in America, but when it comes to tailgating, I think they do it right. They've got the pierogies, you know, you can get nachos, you can get it all. I tend to lean a little bit more towards the barbecue and maybe some wings.
Awesome. And one more time, Allie, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, Here We Go Brownies podcast, or any websites. Let the listeners know that as well.
Absolutely. You can check me out at Allie_Heisong on all of the socials, or the Here We Go Brownies podcast. That's at Go Brownies Live, or you can find us at herewegobrownies.com.
Awesome. You heard it from her. She's Allie Heisong, the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast, which is dedicated to all things related to the NFL's Cleveland Browns. Allie, thank you so much again. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Take care.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Brissett steps up. He's going to keep it himself. Brissett has a window. Touchdown! Jacoby Brissett! He told us in our meeting that he wasn't this read option agile. Hunt in motion. Hand off to Chubb. Chubb through the left side. Inside the 20. Chubb's got the 10. 5. Touchdown! Nick Chubb!
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers. Working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
Sarah just added kettlebell classes to her 300 gyms.
The thing is, those gyms don't have kettlebells just yet, but Sarah isn't sweating it. Her equipment supplier has Salesforce Customer 360, the number one CRM, so they can unite around customers like her. Marketing already knows the model she wants, so commerce and IT serve it right to her in a mobile app.
Wow, one-click checkout.
See how uniting your teams can help you wow customers at salesforce.com/customer360.
One more rep.
You know that feeling you get when things just magically work?
Like when my 300 gyms get restocked ahead of schedule?
Bingo! Your equipment supplier has Salesforce Customer 360. It unites teams around gym owners like you for wow moments like
when new weights come in my custom shade of blue.
And those gym towels you liked?
So plush, so thick.
With just one click.
Wow.
See how uniting your teams can help you wow customers at salesforce.com/customer360.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movements that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. I just tell them.
Sarah just added kettlebell classes to her 300 gyms. The thing is, those gyms don't have kettlebells just yet, but Sarah isn't sweating it. Her equipment supplier has Salesforce Customer 360, the number one CRM, so they can unite around customers like her. Marketing already knows the model she wants, so commerce and IT serve it right to her in a mobile app.
Wow, one-click checkout.
See how uniting your teams can help you wow customers at salesforce.com/customer360.
The it's always the right time deal.
Hey, want to go to Mickey D's for lunch?
Ooh, let's go now.
But it's not lunchtime yet.
If we're going to McDonald's, it's always the right time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
There's a deal for every lunch hour at McDonald's.
Now, get a hot and spicy McChicken, double cheeseburger, or six-piece chicken McNuggets with small fries for only $3. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
The it's always the right time deal.
Hey, want to go to Mickey D's for lunch?
Ooh, let's go now.
But it's not lunchtime yet.
If we're going to McDonald's, it's always the right time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
There's a deal for every lunch hour at McDonald's.
Now, get a hot and spicy McChicken, double cheeseburger, or six-piece chicken McNuggets with small fries for only $3. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Allie Hysong, co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast. The podcast provides content and information related to the NFL's Cleveland Browns. Again, big special thank you to Allie for always coming through for us on the program. All right, let's do this. Let's now preview Week 5's most important games in the NFL. Let's start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Indianapolis Colts and the Denver Broncos. This is the Thursday night matchup in the Mile High City. First, some injuries to pass along. Colts running back Jonathan Taylor, last year's league leading rusher, will not play in the Thursday night matchup against Denver. Also, Shaq Leonard is expected to be out for this game, and that's a big blow because he's been the league's leading tackler for the last several years now. And as far as the Denver Broncos are concerned, quarterback Russell Wilson has been battling a right shoulder for the last several days. He will play in this game. And also, another interesting tidbit to pass along for the Denver Broncos. Denver stole someone. Well, in a legal way, the New Orleans Saints decided not to put running back Latavius Murray on contract, so the Denver Broncos wind up signing him. So that should be welcome news. Again, if you heard, Broncos running back Javonte Williams out for the year after tearing his ACL and his MCL. So that was devastating news. But if you know about Latavius Murray and his pedigree, you know he's one of those power running backs, runs north and south, nothing fancy about him. He's a guy that just grinds it out, and he definitely gets – he's someone that will get the job done. Whether it's 1 yard or 91 yards, he's definitely one of those running backs that can get the job done for you. So the Indianapolis Colts, again, going up against the Denver Broncos. Both teams have had their struggles this year offensively. Colts quarterback Matt Ryan coming to Indy in a trade during the offseason with the Falcons, still trying to find his way with the offense. And the Denver Broncos, we know about the struggles with quarterback Russell Wilson. Also head coach Nathaniel Hackett, the play calling has been considered to be very suspect. I don't know what's going to happen. And again, we don't know what's going to happen, how the offense is going to run. Again, Murray has only been with the team for maybe a few days. And again, there's only approximately three days rest with the Broncos. Again, Wilson has a right shoulder injury, but he's going to be 100% ready to go for the Thursday night opener, for the Thursday night game, I should say, between the Colts and the Broncos. Should be a fun one, should be an interesting one in the Mile High City. We continue the NFL International Series in London between the New York Giants and the Green Bay Packers. First for the Packers, a big win over the New England Patriots in a thrilling late afternoon game at a Lambeau Field, winning in overtime. Aaron Rodgers, again, doing what number 12 does best, making plays when needed, getting the ones involved, still trying to find a groove with his young wide receiver, still trying to find that balance. I mean, Alan Lazard and Romeo Dobbs, they stepped up when they needed to. How about Christian Watson? He is just a speedster. You can use him in so many different ways. And Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, I mentioned in the interview earlier with Ali Highsong that Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are the best 1-2 running back tandem in the NFL, but right behind them is Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon from the Green Bay Packers. Defensively, Green Bay's been solid this year. Rashawn Gary had 2 sacks in the game against New England. So the Packers had a big win, as I mentioned earlier, over New England in the late afternoon game in overtime. For the New York Giants, again, quarterback struggles continue for the Giants. Daniel Jones, it just seems like every year he's never healthy. However, the bright spot for the G-men, Saquon Barkley, currently the league's leading rusher as this show is airing. And defensively, they stepped it up a bit with the likes of Azeez Ojulari, also Dexter Lawrence, Tay Crowder, and Jahad Ward, who all had sacks in the game, and the Giants went over the Chicago Bears. So you're going to have to get up early for this one because the Giants and the Packers are going to be playing in London. It's expected to be at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Central Time, kickoff in the United States, where it's going to be like 3 o'clock in the afternoon in London. So I know there's a lot of Giants fans in London, but there are a lot of Packers fans across the pond. So this should be an interesting one between the Giants and the Packers. Next most important game for Week 5 is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers going up against the Buffalo Bills. First for Pittsburgh, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Mike Tomlin wasting no time in this early NFL season. Their passing game hasn't gotten going this early part of the year. So Mitchell Trubisky is out as quarterback. In comes Kenny Pickett. Again, he's a guy that knows the city of Pittsburgh, and now he's the new starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So while the changes are made at the quarterback position, the Buffalo Bills are riding high off of a big win over the Baltimore Ravens, winning by a field goal. Josh Allen, he's going to be ready. Stephon Diggs, we know he's going to be ready as well. Also, Buffalo's defense has been very effective in this game. Jordan Poyer had 2 interceptions in last week's win over Buffalo. So Tremaine Edmonds has been affected. Also, Greg Rousseau. Also, Von Miller. We know what his presence is like as well. So this is going to be an interesting game for Kenny Pickett as he makes his first career NFL start against the Buffalo Bills. And his first career start is going to be at Buffalo in one of the wildest and one of the best environments in the National Football League. Next game that we have is the Miami Dolphins going up against the New York Jets. I mentioned at the beginning of the program, Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, he will not play in this game. We don't know when he's going to return, but Teddy Bridgewater's got the keys to the car for the time being, so he will get the start against the New York Jets. Now, if you know Bridgewater's history, he's been a solid NFL starting quarterback with the Minnesota Vikings, and then his short time with the New Orleans Saints when Drew Brees was hurt, and then he played one season with the New York Jets. But if anybody's capable of handling this task, it would be Teddy Bridgewater, and he's got the weapons with him in Miami with the likes of Speedster Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, also Mike Gesicki. Also, he's got Raheem Mostert. So Teddy Bridgewater has been a tested and a proven NFL quarterback, and he'll get the start against the New York Jets. As for the New York Jets, the Jets upset win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Zach Wilson played a solid game in the win last week against the Steelers, including throwing a touchdown pass and catching a touchdown. Wow. Very interesting right there. Zach made his return from his injury. So we got Breece Hall been running the ball effectively. Corey Davis has been nice in this early part of the year for the Jets. So this is going to be a home game for the fans out in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Dolphins and Jets. Dolphins currently 3-1. The Jets are 2-2. It seems as though this rivalry, it was only yesterday where I remember during the 80s and the 90s and the early part of the 2000s when Dolphins and Jets, that rivalry meant something, and we may be back to those days. I don't know. Still early. Only time will tell. Next game is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles going up against the Arizona Cardinals. First for the Eagles, they're still flying high, not just over South Philly, but flying all over the NFL. The Eagles are the only undefeated team in the National Football League. Jalen Hurts is on point. The running game is on point. Defensively, surprisingly, the Eagles are playing well. And as far as Arizona is concerned, the Cards, the Cardinals won in week four, beating the Carolina Panthers in a close game. We know what type of highlight reel Kyler Murray is. We know about James Conner. Marquise Brown and Zach Ertz are effective. But the one thing that was very scary with Arizona was that J.J. Watt went on his Twitter page several hours before the start of that game, and that he revealed that he was suffering from AFib, which is atrial fibrillation. For those of you that may not be familiar with that, is that in layman's terms, again, his heart had they had to put make his heart pump once again, made they have to was having a heart issue. So J.J. Watt was battling that. A lot of people were praying for him. A lot of people were questioning, should he play in this game? Well, he played in the game against Carolina, and I guess so far so good. But that's a very scary situation. We talk about the concussion protocol in the NFL and how the NFLPA and the league, they made changes to it yet again. Maybe we need to make some other changes in terms of with heart issues like the one J.J. Watt revealed on Twitter. But nevertheless, Eagles and Cardinals is going to be a fun one and an exciting game down in the desert. We have a big one out in Los Angeles between the Dallas Cowboys and the L.A. Rams. First for the Rams, they were just manhandled and beat up from pillar to post Monday night, losing to the San Francisco 49ers. The Rams have had their issues on the offensive line front. A lot of people are saying that Allen Robinson so far is a bust. Sean McVay said earlier in the week that they're going to find more ways to get Allen Robinson the ball. And it's going to be tough because you've got Cooper Kupp, who is your number one receiver with the Rams, and then Tyler Higbee, who's a very quality tight end. So Matthew Stafford, it's going to be tough to try to get the ball to Allen because Dallas's defense has been tough. Micah Parsons. Also, you've got the likes of Trayvon Diggs, who's played well as well. Also, you've got Cooper Rush. A lot of people, Jerry Jones, he likes to stir the pot, say that there could be a quarterback controversy between Cooper and Dak Prescott whenever Dak comes back. That's not going to happen anytime soon. But nevertheless, Cooper Rush has been effective in his time that he's been the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Now he's going to be going up against a Rams defense with Jalen Ramsey, also Aaron Donald. Also, you can't forget about Leonard Floyd in the mix as well. So, and of course, Bobby Wagner, who was the leading tackler in the Rams loss to the 49ers. So this is going to be a good game, an interesting game out in L.A. The Sunday night game is going to represent the future of the NFL, the rising stars at the quarterback position. The Cincinnati Bengals going up against the Baltimore Ravens. Joe Burrow, what can you say about Joey B? I mean, he, for all the talent that he has, unfortunately, he's been getting hit. He's been taking a lot of hits so far in this early part of the NFL season. The Bengals spent a lot of money on that offensive line during the offseason, and so far, the money has not been well spent. As a matter of fact, the money has been wasted because Joe has spent a lot of time on his back. He's got to be the most sacked quarterback in the league, probably along with him and Daniel Jones. When Joe is on fire and when he's protected, he can't be touched. But unfortunately, that offensive line has done a horrible job of protecting him so far in this early part of the season. And it's not going to get any better because they're going up against a tough Baltimore Ravens team, a team that is coming off a disappointing loss, and someone that's definitely going to be out for revenge, and that's Lamar Jackson. We know about Lamar and his gripe with the contract dispute that he wanted. He's going to play it out throughout the course of this season, and so far he's an early candidate for the league MVP. So it's going to be a good game on Sunday night between Cincinnati and Baltimore as it features the rising stars at the quarterback position in the league with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. And then we have the Monday Night Football matchup, a classic AFC West rivalry matchup between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs. As I mentioned at the top of the program, the Raiders finally get their first win of the year. A lot of expectations for them. A lot of people did not expect them to be 1-3. They've got a tough task as they're going to be going up against, a lot of people say, the future GOAT, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs were solid, handled their business last Sunday night, beating Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And again, the loss of Tyreek Hill, no cheetah, no problem. Travis Kelce handling his business. Also, you've got Isaiah Pacheco has really starting to become a diamond in the rough for that Chiefs. Talk about other people that stepped up, that is stepping up, I should say, for the Chiefs offense. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been very effective. Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster, they're handling their business when need to. And then on the defensive side, you got the likes of Lajarius Sneed. He was the leading tackler in last week's game against the Buccaneers. So Raiders and Chiefs, this is going to be an interesting game. The Raiders are going to have their work cut out for them. Yes, they did win last week, beating the division rival in the AFC West, the Denver Broncos. But, man, it may be a rude awakening for them because they have to go to one of the toughest places to play and one of the loudest places to play in the NFL, and that is at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. And that's the Raiders and the Chiefs on Monday night. All right, it's time now for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles going up against the Arizona Cardinals. Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray went through some embarrassment during the offseason where details of the original contract was revealed on social media that he must devote several hours to independent film study. Unfortunately, that was a black eye, not only to him, but to the Arizona Cardinals organization as well. Long story short, the revised contract took that independent film study clause out of the deal. And now for the time being, it looks as though Arizona is on a high right now for the time being. So while we have Kyler Murray being Kyler, making plays, not just with his arm, but with his legs as well. Jalen Hurts, Kyler got his contract during the offseason. Now Jalen is working towards not only getting his contract, but proving to the Eagles fans and to the NFL that he can be the franchise quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles, as I mentioned earlier, are currently the only undefeated team in the NFL. Jalen is doing it all, both passing and running the ball. Jalen, as I mentioned with Lamar Jackson from the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar is an early MVP candidate. We'll put Jalen Hurts in that same conversation as well. But it's not just Jalen that's making the train roll along for the Eagles. We're talking about a solid running game that's been great with the likes of Miles Sanders. Also, you can't forget about the solid passing attack, of course, with Devontae Smith. A.J. Brown, who has been a steal since he came over to the Eagles from Tennessee on draft night in that big trade. And then you got to talk about one of the top tight ends in the NFL with Dallas Goedert. And then defensively, of course, we know about the defensive side for Philadelphia, Hassan Reddick, T.J. Edwards, also Josh Sweat. You've got a C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And we cannot forget about Fletcher Cox, who is still one of the premier interior linemen in the NFL. So Eagles and Cardinals, we've got both teams with solid running games, but at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray. It's going to be a fun one, the Arizona Cardinals, my game of the week. All right, before we get on out of here, I'd like to give you my picks on who I think will win the most important games for Week 5 in the NFL. The Thursday night matchup game between the Indianapolis Colts and the Denver Broncos. I like the Indianapolis Colts to beat Denver in the Mile High City. I like the Colts to beat the Broncos. The NFL International Series in London between the New York Giants and the Green Bay Packers. I like Green Bay to beat the Giants. The Pittsburgh Steelers going up against the Buffalo Bills. I like Buffalo to win that game. The Miami Dolphins going up against the New York Jets. I like the New York Jets to win that game. The Philadelphia Eagles squaring off against the Arizona Cardinals. I like the Eagles to win that game. The Dallas Cowboys going up against the Los Angeles Rams. Very tight game, but I like Dallas to win out on the West Coast. The Sunday night matchup between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens. I like Baltimore to bounce back and to win that game. And then the Monday night game between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Kansas City to win that game. So the winners for Week 5's most important games are Indianapolis, Green Bay, Buffalo, New York Jets, Philadelphia, Dallas, Baltimore, and Kansas City. And there you have it. Those are the picks for the Week 5's most important games in the NFL. Well, again, I'd like to send a big special thank you to Ali Hysong, co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast. The podcast provides content and information related to the NFL's Cleveland Browns. Once again, a big special thank you to Ali for coming on the program. And once again, a big special thank you to you, the listeners out there, for tuning into this edition of the League Wraparound. Until next week, everyone, I'm Ed Robinson, saying so long.
Sarah just added kettlebell classes to her 300 gyms. The thing is, those gyms don't have kettlebells just yet, but Sarah isn't sweating it. Her equipment supplier has Salesforce Customer 360, the number one CRM, so they can unite around customers like her. Marketing already knows the model she wants, so commerce and IT serve it right to her in a mobile app.
Wow, one-click checkout.
See how uniting your teams can help you wow customers at salesforce.com/customer360.
It's always the right time deal.
Hey, want to go to Mickey D's for lunch?
Ooh, let's go now.
But it's not lunchtime yet.
If we're going to McDonald's, it's always the right time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
There's a deal for every lunch hour at McDonald's.
Now, get a hot and spicy McChicken, double cheeseburger, or six-piece chicken McNuggets with small fries for only $3. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
It's always the right time deal.
Hey, want to go to Mickey D's for lunch?
Ooh, let's go now.
But it's not lunchtime yet.
If we're going to McDonald's, it's always the right time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
There's a deal for every lunch hour at McDonald's.
Now, get a hot and spicy McChicken, double cheeseburger, or six-piece chicken McNuggets with small fries for only $3. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
It's always the right time deal.
Hey, want to go to Mickey D's for lunch?
Ooh, let's go now.
But it's not lunchtime yet.
If we're going to McDonald's, it's always the right time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
There's a deal for every lunch hour at McDonald's.
Now, get a hot and spicy McChicken, double cheeseburger, or six-piece chicken McNuggets with small fries for only $3. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
The it's always the right time deal.
Hey, want to go to Mickey D's for lunch?
Ooh, let's go now.
But it's not lunchtime yet.
If we're going to McDonald's, it's always the right time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
There's a deal for every lunch hour at McDonald's.
Now, get a hot and spicy McChicken, double cheeseburger, or six-piece chicken McNuggets with small fries for only $3. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
The it's always the right time deal.
Hey, want to go to Mickey D's for lunch?
Ooh, let's go now.
But it's not lunchtime yet.
If we're going to McDonald's, it's always the right time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
There's a deal for every lunch hour at McDonald's.
Now, get a hot and spicy McChicken, double cheeseburger, or six-piece chicken McNuggets with small fries for only $3. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
The it's always the right time deal.
Hey, want to go to Mickey D's for lunch?
Ooh, let's go now.
But it's not lunchtime yet.
If we're going to McDonald's, it's always the right time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
There's a deal for every lunch hour at McDonald's.
Now, get a hot and spicy McChicken, double cheeseburger, or six-piece chicken McNuggets with small fries for only $3. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
The it's always the right time deal.
Hey, want to go to Mickey D's for lunch?
Ooh, let's go now.
But it's not lunchtime yet.
If we're going to McDonald's, it's always the right time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
There's a deal for every lunch hour at McDonald's.
Now, get a hot and spicy McChicken, double cheeseburger, or six-piece chicken McNuggets with small fries for only $3. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.